It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on the 17th day of November, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is, well, where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. It's possible you're already there if you're listening to the live stream. That or you're listening to ads on TuneIn. I mean, it happens. But if you pop by chat room tab at HeadOn.live, you can be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for being part of this community and taking time for this conversation. It is, as you know, if you spend much time here, this doesn't happen many other places, if any. And I'm just glad and grateful. With Thanksgiving coming up, I'm thankful for this community that we've put together that has lasted so long. And so, anyway, if you pop by the chat room, there's a good crowd in there because I was late to the microphone. My apologies. Sometimes you get the bear, and sometimes the bear gets you. And sometimes the machine just doesn't want to cooperate. You'll be greeted by Theo and Anatole and Briar Smoker and Irish Dave and Rick in Europe and Squeaky and Texas T. My goodness gracious, haven't seen Texas T in a while. Ralph's was there for a minute. Thanks for popping by, and they'll all be happy to see you if you come by. And everybody gets capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has declined to fold space and become man cave. He is capably assisted by Roger in Oregon. And I'm there as a moderator, too, but I don't moderate. It's entirely an honorary position. Yes. Again, sorry about being late, but these things happen. And sorry about yesterday, too. Sorry, not sorry. I was away, and it was planned, and it was actually good. There was nothing terrifying or scary or no. It was a joyful day away. And it gave me a chance to sort of breathe a little bit and relax and try to get a, you know, just let some of the pressure that's been building up go away. Yeah, I know. I got notes because I was late. Dave number 11 said the sound of one hand clapping. Yes, for a few minutes, this was a very contemplative Zen sort of show. Randy Radar told me to throw the third switch and make sure I'm recording. We are recording. Brother Deacon Asa has sent me the customary Peekaboo ICU Herb Cain gif. Shucky ducky, Trump's not a racist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But before I get ahead of myself, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and we have thank yous to say for our 16th and 17th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. That means thank you to Gary, labor man. Gary is our only subscriber for the 17th day of the month. Just saying, if anybody would like. And remember, we've got an offer out there, courtesy of Zed in Iowa. Any new subscriber, up to and including five new subscribers at $10 a month, get their first month subscription doubled. And if we ever meet that goal, another donation goes out to Brad and Desi of the Green News Report. So thank you, Zed. And we sure could use some new subscribers. Subscribers on the 17th. Thank you, labor man, Gary. Thank you to Texas T jumping in yesterday. And thank you to David, young legal scholar David, up in Oregon. I hope things are going well. Thank you to Mark. And thank you to Reinhardt on the Virginia coast. And thank you, in fact, to Zed. Those are our 16th of the month subscribers. And so let's see. I should note that Texas T met all but $4 and change of Tracy's 1949 was a very good year challenge. So that is very helpful. And where we stand as we begin the program and struggle, as this program does always struggle, to get from one month to the next, is we are in the $1,280 neighborhood, trying to get caught up now that we are on the downhill side of November. Program note, we will be here on Wednesday next. Day before Thanksgiving. I don't see any other intrusions into the broadcast schedule. And whether there's a program Thanksgiving evening is a game time decision, as the saying goes. Might be, might not be. Kind of depends on if there's any interest. Let me know. If you're not going to be with family or not, you know, not going to be listening to your Fox-watching cranky old cousin or whatever down at the end of the Thanksgiving table, give me a call. Or not a call, but, you know, shoot me an email, message me. There's a million different ways to reach me. And let me know if you'd like to have a Thanksgiving program. Okay? Yeah. Now, all that having been said, when last we spoke, it was Tuesday, and the Mandarin Mussolini, Dimwit Domitian, Marcus Aurelius, Julius Caesar, Caesar Disgustus, Tangerine Tiberius, Clementine Caligula was getting, as we were, as this program was ending live on Tuesday, he was getting ready, absolutely getting ready, believe me, I'm so ready to make this big announcement. And I have to say, I was wrong. I thought that it might have been some kind of grifty thing where he announced a planning committee, I guess he's, you know, off and running. Good luck paying your own legal bills, unless he made some sort of deal with the RNC. And if he made a deal with the RNC where they're going to keep paying his legal bills while he's a primary candidate for the Republican nomination for president, I can't imagine that that's going to sit very well with Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, because, well, he'll want some of that sweet, sweet cash himself, don't you figure? And I read coverage of the nonsense that he burbled. And really, it's day-old news now. So there's not much to discuss unless, you know, at some point in time you call the program and you want to talk about it. I did notice he said something about the world having a population of 8.5 billion people by 2020. I told you it was going to be a recycling job. Really, dipshit? 2020? Yeah. And in the meantime, well, I guess it's a pretty close to a lead pipe cinch that the Republicans are going to have the slimmest of majorities in the House. And apparently they're already picking themselves to pieces. Republican Party in disarray. And the hatred for Kevers McCarthy, the man of silly putty. Holy I hope it doesn't hurt too, little Kevers. And come on, let's you and him fight. I'm down to watch this one happen. Yeah, thank you for the Simpsons clip, Steve. The sound of one hand clapping. I don't think that's really the point. But all that having been said, Nancy Pelosi gave a valedictory speech today. You know, of course, she won re-election, but she's not going to run for House leadership again. She won't seek to be minority leader of the House. She gave a brilliant speech. I'm sure many of you have already heard it. And she threw so much shade at the maggots that I think there were probably cold spots on the sun. Randy Radar said, I got a message that Murdoch is cutting Trump loose. Let's see how Trump does without Fox News support. They may, but if he gets the nomination, they'll come back around. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
By 2020, the world's population may be 8.5 billion people. I would like to grift all of them.
Thank you, Ralphs. Ralph said, I'm scared about the deficit. If somebody kicks in $20, I'll contribute $20. That'd be fantastic. If so, Ralphs is just sitting there waiting. If you'll, if somebody's got $20, Ralphs will add $20 to it and double your money. Thank you. This is, well, I'd rather not go into Friday on the front porch. Huge, with a huge deficit. But we may be anyway. Grifty thing. Steve in New York says, you're half right. Not bad for a half wit. No, sorry. Just kind of leaning into the self-deprecation there. You're half right. You were right about the announcement of a grifty thing. You were just wrong about him not announcing for president. I will guarantee there will be a PAC or some foundation to pay his legal fees. Odd. I haven't heard anything about inflation or gas prices since last Tuesday. And I just can't figure out why. Gas prices and inflation have disappeared since roughly November the 8th, and I don't know. They may wind up on a milk carton. Have you seen these gas prices? Have you seen this inflation? And let's see, I paid $3 and 55 cents a gallon yesterday, because the little red light was on in the little white Ford, and it had to have some gasoline in it. And it's amazing what $20 worth of gasoline will not buy you anymore. $3.56, you know, that 9/10 of a gallon that we all just kind of ignore. That's where the oil company profits are. They're in the 9/10 of a gallon. We're back into that Ma and Pa Kettle math again. So, that having been said, thank you very kindly to Henry. Henry in Oakland. Thank you, Henry. Henry just answered Brouts' challenge, so we are down to 1240. 1240. Thank you very kindly, Henry. That's a huge help. And hopefully you'll have some company this evening. So let's take a look at, let's start wandering around and check in on some things going on around and about the greatest country in the history of the world on Earth now, today, forever, in the universe under God. We had a story Tuesday. It was Tuesday, wasn't it? Because this is Thursday, by the way, Thorn in the Side Thursday. We had the distress. No, that was Monday, wasn't it? Well, we've got a couple of lawful gun owner updates. You know, the University of Virginia in Charlottesville and the University of Idaho in Moscow, Idaho. There are no cows in Moscow. That's what my old news director taught me 1,000 years ago. I wonder if he's still alive. All four of those students at the University of Idaho that we talked about, they shared a house off campus, were stabbed to death. And the Moscow, Idaho police are absolutely clueless for a suspect. The sister of one of the murder victims put up an Instagram post late yesterday evening. Aubrey Gonsalves said to the students of the University of Idaho that are still staying around campus, leave. Your grades are severely less important than your lives. I wish all the students of U of I safety and peace. You guys are not safe until this sicko is found. And she's deep in grief for her 21-year-old sister, Kaylee. Also found was Madison Mogan. It turns out Madison Mogan, 21 years old, was also a close family friend of Kaylee and Aubrey Gonsalves. Also murdered was Zana Kernodle and Ethan Chapin. They were both 20. Police said they were killed by stab wounds caused by an edged weapon such as a knife. No one has found the knife as yet, or the person who wielded it. The cops said it was an isolated, targeted attack, and there's no continued threat to the school community. Aubrey Gonsalves apparently thinks otherwise, and she is heartbroken. The weird part, two other people were asleep in the home and were untouched. Yesterday, the police chief of Moscow, Idaho, James Fry, he backed up a little bit and said, "We do not have a suspect at this time, and that individual is still out there. We can't say there's no threat to the community. And as we have stated, please stay vigilant, report any suspicious activity, and be aware of your surroundings at all times." Classes canceled on Monday have since resumed, and the president of the university said, "Well, the students gain comfort being around other students. They gain comfort from interacting and staying busy with their faculty and attending classes, labs. Some are working on their semester projects, so we've heard from them. We're encouraging students and employees to take care of themselves." That's terrifying. Let's see. I'm guessing at least three of the four murder victims were women. That begins to, yeah. And so with that, we move over to Virginia, where Christopher Darnell Jones Sr., interviewed by NBC 12 Monday night, said of his son, the murderer, "I can't believe it was him. I still can't believe it now." And he said he hadn't seen his son for about a month. Last time he saw him was when he came home to do laundry. That's a college student thing to do. He was from, his parents lived in Charlottesville. Mr. Jones Sr. said he had some problems the last time I talked to him. He said some people was picking on him or whatever. He didn't know how to handle it, and I just told him don't pay it any mind and just go to school. He was really paranoid when I talked to him about something, but he wouldn't tell me everything. He was a very sensitive young man. And you might recall the shooting took place on a tour bus. One of the classes had gone to see a play in Washington, D.C., And he was actually with the school trip. He was on the bus. And so that means he had his Freedom Protector with him. Well, any minute now I expect some sort of a news release or for Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, to leap in front of a camera and say, "We have got to harden these tour buses. You certainly can't take guns away from law-abiding, lawful gun owners." Yeah. Christopher Darnell Jones Jr. was, of course, a lawful gun owner. You know, until he wasn't. His dad went on to say it seemed like he was doing really good in school. And they were looking forward to his birthday, celebrating his birthday with him. That would have been today. Well, there's no one. I don't think there's any birthday cake in the clink. And he being a young black man, somehow or another, the cops managed not to kill him. There's just not a lot of information about motive or the three dead, Devin Chandler, Lavelle Davis, and Deshaun Perry. No update on the two who were in the hospital. One of those, as of the last time we talked about this story, was in critical condition. But, you know, I guess maybe what the three murder victims and the two who were shot and survived. Look, if we live in an America where Julius Geezer can give the Presidential Medal of Freedom to a babbling gas bag like Rush Limbaugh, and given that the Purple Heart is awarded to military members who are wounded in the course of battle, we really do need to come up with a civilian medal for people who are shot in the course of Second Amendment freedom, don't we? Isn't it time? Because it feels like it is. There needs to be something more in the way of an acknowledgement of people who wind up being dead because they had the unmitigated temerity to get on a tour bus and go to D.C. to see a play. And you know what? I bet that was a wonderful day. I bet they had a blast. And then they came home, the shooting started, and three of them are dead, and they'll be forgotten by everybody except their family. Some of the except for the fact that we're talking about them now, and except for the fact that there's banners hanging from fraternity houses in Charlottesville with their team jersey numbers on them, most people have already forgotten them. If they ever even knew. I don't know. I'm just workshopping this idea right now. Maybe we don't need... No, maybe we don't need medals. Maybe we need a monument in D.C. A monument to the victims of gun violence. Call it the Second Amendment Monument. Because the Second Amendment is why, ask any Republican, up to and including Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, ask them why people have to have firearms, and they'll say, because the Second Amendment protects freedom in America. So, you know, maybe we need a huge granite monument. And it would have to be really big. Gigantic. And it could look like a bullet. And all the names of the children and the teachers and the people who just wanted to go to the movies and the people who were just going to the grocery store for a loaf of bread and a jug of milk and the people who wanted to get on a bus and go and see a play in D.C. We can put all their names on it. You know, now that the Democrats are going to be in the minority, maybe somebody could introduce a resolution or a bill to create that monument. And try to get it discharged to the floor, and then watch all these goddamn Republicans do exactly what we expect and inveigh against that monument, especially because we're going to call it the Second Amendment Freedom Monument. Because while bullets did the work, the Second Amendment made the bullets possible. Nope, sorry, they all had to die so that pasty-faced, doughy old white men can feel good about themselves and have their freedom protectors. Especially AR-15s. Oh, and speaking of the House of Representatives and Nancy Pelosi stepping down. Well, it's a pretty good bet that your new minority leader in the House of Representatives will be a congressman from New York, the city and the state. Namely, Hakeem Jeffries. Oh, you're welcome, Flavio. Thank you for pronouncing the Portuguese surname correctly. It's the Portuguese version of the Spanish name Gonzalez. I didn't realize it was Portuguese, but I do my best, and sometimes I even get it right. Thanks for taking note, Fabio. And thank you, Cecilia. Cecilia in Florida just jumped in and got us down to 12:30. About half done with lunch. Thank you, Cecilia. It's much appreciated. I hope you know that. Steve in New York says, Idaho, I'll bet you picked up on this. You always do. If there's no weapon or suspect, how can we call it a crime of passion? Well, we know... I'm just going to guess here. Because women. Because, you know, you wouldn't premeditatedly first-degree murder three women and one person. And, you know, it's 2022. Ethan may have been a woman, too. It would have to be a crime of passion. It couldn't be any premeditation. Yeah, but then again, they walked back their statement about this being an isolated incident, too. Randy Radar said, I went to some gas station for the first time in months and was shocked that diesel fuel is over $6.20 a gallon. Yeah. And the funny thing is about it, and if you want evidence that this is a scam, okay, that this is absolutely a manufactured price increase, of course, everything having to do with the hydrocarbon industry is. Look no further than diesel fuel. Diesel fuel is diesel fuel. Because Herr Dr. Diesel in Germany invented it to make it easier for farmers to be able to fuel their farm implements with cruder forms of combustible fuel. He envisioned a world in which farmers would actually make their own fuel. Remember back in the early parts of this century when it was all the rage, and in fact we had a friend, wonder whatever happened to him, who built from I think from an old BMW what he called a grease car, and he ran it on old French fry grease, which was way cheaper than diesel fuel. But diesel is $6.20 a gallon over there where Randy Radar is? And we already know from the quarterly profit and loss, and no losses, all profits, of the major oil companies that, yeah, the price increases are strictly from a desire to increase corporate profits because, well, when we had us a pandemic and people got a few dollars in their pockets that they wouldn't have otherwise had, great big corporations in America said, well, they've got it, and we want it, because we deserve it, because we really run this joint. Government. We run the government, too. And because a Democrat was in the White House and Democrats were running the House and the Senate, the oil companies were equally unhappy about that. And so they tried. You know, and I mean, we talk about Russia meddling in American elections. And they do. They do. But God, nobody meddles in American elections quite like an oil company. I mean, let's just be real. At any rate... Steve in New York says, Thanksgiving night, I'm going to vote for a program. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the vote. Maybe we'll have Thanksgiving on the front porch. Yeah. And Steve suggested that rather than a bullet for our Second Amendment Freedom Monument, we make it a roulette wheel with special thanks to the NRA and their logo in the middle of the wheel. There's merit to your idea. And thank you very kindly to non-billable Rick in Washington. Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Rick jumped in and really gave us a shot in the arm. We're down to $1,150 to go. That I cannot tell you how much we appreciate that. The bills here are frightful. Seems like every company, and it's not just me, and it's not just West Virginia. Everybody's feeling it, and that's why I think that's part of why we're struggling so much just to keep this on the air, because we're way downstream, and y'all are so kind and so good to help keep this going. You know, we get our water here from West Virginia American Water Company. And they've got a horribly aging infrastructure. But they don't do much about it. Instead, since they're a for-profit corporation, their monies go toward the shareholders, y'all. Mm-hmm. But that's really, really huge, Rick. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. So, $11.50, and gosh, if we didn't want to have a four-digit fundraising hole tomorrow, that's a whopping load of money to raise this evening, but a bill could get paid. Yay. The Republican House, Ron in Raleigh says, now that the Republican clown car is trying to get started in the garage, the riders are laying out all the people they're going to drag through the mud. With the slim margin they have, it's going to be an exercise in stupidity. Since we all know that the investigations won't prove a damn thing, because all of the proof they'll be presenting are bullshit conspiracy theories. The investigation I'm looking forward to is the investigation of the January 6th investigation. Led, of course, I presume, by Jim Jacketoff Jordan. I think he should just wear a wrestling singlet and, you know, maybe with the Ohio State University emblazoned. Yeah, the same singlets that were worn by the boys that he ignored while they were being raped. But they're gonna have to. This is the fun part, Ron. They're gonna have to get the long knives out for each other first. And they are out. Oh my head, and they're out in not a good way. We're gonna find out what a clown car it really, really is. It was there was a particular moment of delight. When Representative James Comer, a maggot from Kentucky Stan, you know, KY, I had some of that Kentucky jelly on my toast one day, and it just don't have hardly any flavor at all. I don't know why they're so fond of it down there, but they eat something called burgoo. Anyway, and, well, no accounting for taste. James Comer jumped out in front of a microphone because he wanted to have him a press conference about, hey, Scott, everybody sing it at home. Hunter Biden, the Benghazi overtime. We will hear about Hunter Biden till we're all fit to lose our minds. That's something I ought not do with a $1,150 fundraising hole. I really shouldn't. But it's unavoidable. Oh, God, this may be thorn in the side Thursday, but this would be so Titanic Tuesday.
That is a major problem.
Jim, jack it off,
think
Jordan.
The January 6th insurrectionists have been wrongly imprisoned?
I didn't say anything. All I said is we're going to look at the politics at the Justice Department based on the fact that we have had 14 different, actually more than 14 now, whistleblowers come talk to us. That's what we're going to focus on.
And my last question is, what are the grounds?
If we can keep it about Hunter Biden, this is kind of a big deal, we think. If we can keep it about Hunter Biden, that would be great.
I just wanted to piggyback for January 6th. What you plan to do with the January 6th investigation? It seems like
I think that's a question. Yeah. I think that's a question for Kevin McCarthy. That we're focused on a lot of investigations now. I've been very transparent with the media on it. That wasn't one of them, but
that wasn't one of them. Can we keep this about Hunter Biden? We need it to be about Hunter Biden. We don't need no stinking January 6th questions. Keep your questions about Hunter Biden, damn it. What about the inflation? What about gas prices, James Comer, huh? What? And Stephen New York observes, subject line, congressional subpoenas. Finally, Nancy Reagan's just say no advice is useful. Yeah, they're going to hate it when they start issuing subpoenas and you know, we're going to investigate. We got 14 whistleblowers. When those whistleblowers show up without a subpoena, we will know that it was cooked. And frankly, having 14 whistleblowers from, say, maybe the FBI, it doesn't impress me much. Hi, Shania. Because, well, we already know that the FBI is positively just swimming in terrorist sympathizers because the FBI said it themselves. You shouldn't, well, you know what? It won't be fun. Well, I mean, it won't be good for America. But the next 2 years may be a real laugh riot for people who observe politics and understand the vague and creepy workings of the maggot mind. And Jim Jacket Off Jordan, true to form, had no jacket. Because I guess he's just too buff or butch for a sport coat. I don't know. Now, wait, I want to see. Hold on here. Dadgummit. Wait a minute. Because they're all wearing their congressman buttons. Because you got to wear your congressman button. Where's Jim Jacket Off's congressman button? Is it on? And by the way, that clip was from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, because of course they're terribly, terribly interested in Hunter Biden. They may be throwing Nitwit Nero under the bus, but no, they're still a mouthpiece for the right wing sewer. Where's your button, Jim Jacket Off Jordan? And what's your fascination with windowpane print dress shirts and yellow ties? Maybe the yellow is a subtle reference to the urine-colored snake flag. You think? Maybe? I'm sorry, it's the best I got. God, what an ugly little man he is. Can we keep it about Hunter Biden, please? And you know the press corps is going to ask about January 6th every day, and I hope they do. No, this is about Hunter Biden. And they are, Pramila Jayapal showed up on MSNBC last night, Wednesday night,
and she was touting people with progressive cred who won seats in the Congress and was talking about the things that progressive lawmakers want, legalizing weed, protecting privacy rights, expanding Medicaid, raising the minimum wage. And she made an observation that I thought was, prescient.
The math really matters. So I'm curious, Che, what you think Steve's big board tells us about this call coming in here for the first time, 8 days out, 6 p.m. hour on the East Coast, a narrow projected majority here, a call for the House Republicans in the House.
Well, I think that what Steve brings up is perhaps the first big question that we are facing post-election, which is, yes, the Republicans have the House, but does Kevin McCarthy have the speakership? I don't think that that is at all decided. NBC News reported, for example, that the representative, I believe, out of Nebraska said that he was very open to perhaps working with Democrats on a moderate Republican speaker if the Republicans cannot get their act together. And when you have such a slim majority and.
Oh, and by the way, I'm just going to mention this. I started to mention a little bit earlier, but I thought it might be, well, for everybody who hated Miss Nancy, and I don't know how you can after the speech she gave today, but, well, no accounting. Y'all gonna really hate her replacement. The new minority leader will probably be Hakeem Jeffries of New York. And he is as centrist as they come. And he's a machine politician. Now, I'm not damning him out of the gate. He may prove to be an excellent minority leader, and when the time comes, he may be a fantastic speaker. He will be the first African American minority leader in the House. And he may become the first African-American speaker of the House in 24, hopefully. But he's not exactly a... stirring banner carrier for the left. Ha! The left! What left? But we've heard me say that. And the fact of the matter is, as Pramila Jayapal said, they don't have an accomplished speaker the way we've had Speaker Pelosi. They have Kevin McCarthy, who is not going to be able to bring that caucus, I don't know how she avoided saying circus, in my view, together. They're going to fight with each other. And she went on to say, bless her heart, it is going to be, instead of Dems in disarray, which always used to be a problem, we were described in that way, this, not Dems in disarray, this is Republicans in ruin. I think we might want to hang on, might want to hang on to that line, Republicans in ruin. Because, you know, the Feedum carcass, its members are out there braying and grunting, with the exception of Marginal Trailer Queen, who seems to have gone and made a separate piece about how Kevin McCarthy ain't got the votes and Kevin McCarthy ain't got the power. Oh, and by the way, remember Madison Maddie Cawthorn, who looked so cute in that little black lace maiden form? Well, Maddie has quit the premises. Elvis has left the building. He has cleared out his office in the House. You know, he got his ass handed to him in the primary. And, you know, his replacement doesn't take office until early January, but Maddie's had enough. And so there's nothing but dust bunnies left in his office there at the House, and he's pretty much quit his job. He won't quit cashing the last 2 months' paychecks because those are pretty tasty. But I don't know, maybe he's going to go on a lingerie cruise. Republicans in ruin. I think Pramila Jayapal is absolutely right. You got Maddie Cawthorn running away. Yes, bless his heart, is said in a southern way, Ralphs. Bless his heart. God love him. He can't help it. Then there's Elise Stupidnik. She, after Nitwit Nero's speech, and God, did you ever think you'd see a day where you could quote an Eagles tune about a political gathering? The people who showed up to watch the jiggling wad of adipose tissue and petty grievances announce his presidential run, well, once they got there, they were stuck there. And so, you know, there you are. You can check out any time you want, but you can never leave. Welcome to the hotel, Mara Lardass. Such a lovely time, such a lovely time. Mirrors on the ceiling. And an orange jackass. We are all just prisoners here of our own device. Yeah. Elise Stupidnik doubled down. And, Matthew Dowd said, I think it's a sign of weakness, as it always has been with Trump and his folks. Every time they know they're in a bad place, they create this false bravado where they do this. I gotta say something about Stefanik. What she did is like the person who buys a ticket while the Titanic is sinking. I told you this episode had a little flavor of Titanic Tuesday to it. What she did is like the person who buys a ticket while the Titanic is sinking. She's the only person in history to buy a ticket on the Titanic while it's sinking. And he went on to say, being as completely craven as she can be, because she'll get into that with Donald Trump, and now she can get out. I think the same is true of Kevin McCarthy. Oh, enjoy it, Elise. You moron. Republicans in ruin. I'm really fond of that. Flavio, with a good question. Could you imagine Lauren Bobo, marginal trailer queen, questioning Kamala Harris? Kamala Harris would dog walk Lauren Bobo and marginal trailer queen. That'll be some comedy gold. And, you know, we're going to need to laugh for the next couple of years. And I will do my dead level best, I promise you. I will do my dead level best to make sure that there's that we do. We laugh a lot. Okay, Steve in New York, Hakeem Jeffries. Now, I was going to say something, but I held back. He's straight up fucking awful. He's an acolyte of Democrat Dove Hykind, who endorsed Lee Zeldin and is a supporter of Ron DeSantis. Dove Hykind tweeted, was on Fox and Friends this morning to discuss the red wave that didn't materialize. If Republicans are honest, they'll face the fact that Trump has to move on so the party can look toward leaders like Ron DeSantis to restore sanity and prosperity. Wow, I didn't know that, Steve. That's creepy AF. Ew. Matt in San Francisco with a note. Nancy, Missed the first hour of the show. Just wanted to say I was really sad listening to Nancy's speech today. She's a class act, even down to the white suit she wore as she let folks know she's exiting leadership stage left. I will forever be proud that she represented the people of San Francisco. And if I understand correctly, she's going to continue to represent the people of San Francisco, Matt. She's just not going to run for House leadership. She was just reelected. But she did. She was stirring. And we will not see her like again. And I fear, I dare to say that at some point in time, there will be people who excoriated her who wind up saying, just as I, you know, and it's okay. You know, I've never been more proud in my life to be wrong about something than as wrong as I was about Joe Biden. I was wrong, and I am happily wrong. So glad I was wrong. Because he has proven himself a man for the moment. And even the time that, you know, he'll soon be at the halfway mark of his presidency on January 20th, 2023. And, you know, were it not for the Chaos Muppets, Curtsy and Kirsty Cinema and Joe to the Mansion Born, imagine what more we might have gotten done. We might have been able to slap Mitch McConnell around a little bit and get some of those bills off that out of that puddle of blood and dust on his desk. Nancy did her job. She did it well. And, well, you know, après elle, le déluge. Thanks, Matt. Thanks. Christopher in Oregon. Maddie Cawthorn all packed up with nowhere to go. Poor Maddie, he tussled with the money changers and got the boot. Hope his cousin has room for him. Hope it doesn't hurt too little. By the way, Billable Rick with a note. Breaking news, Florida's Stop Woke Act enjoined by federal judge. U.S. District Judge Mark Walker, a 2012 Obama appointee in Tallahassee, has blocked key provisions of Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis' Stop Woke Act. He even went so far as to call the Stop Woke Act positively dystopian. He authored a 139-page ruling. Noting that it's a howling violation of academic freedom and the First Amendment. Consider that the Stop Woke Act says that a professor can't express approval of affirmative action as an idea worthy of merit during class time. This caused District Judge Mark Walker to write, "The First Amendment does not permit the state of Florida to muzzle its university professors, impose its own orthodoxy of viewpoints, and cast us all into the dark." Rather than combat woke ideas with countervailing news in the marketplace of ideas, learned hand there, the state has chosen to eliminate one side of the debate. That creepy woman who's DeKlantis' spokes creep declined to comment and about the ass beating he had just gotten, as did the Florida Attorney General. Because the state of Florida marched into court and said, "The state has full power to restrict what public university professors as state employees can say in their classrooms." And he also, back in August, this same judge blocked other fascist provisions from the disgusting DeSantis administration that forbade employers from enacting workplace anti-bias training. I'm not kidding. Thank you, Billable. And Ron in Raleigh reminds us, in the UK, the new chairman of the Exchequer has put forth a proposal for a windfall profit tax, as well as a tax increase for the top wage earners. Why the hell can't we do that? Hasn't President Biden talked about that? I mean, you know why we can't do that. The chaos Muppets. The House might have considered something like that, you know, after the midterms. But there's no sense in sending it to the Senate because the chaos Muppets, Kirstie and Joe, would have a great big honking terrible sad. And just a reminder, we've had a lot of questions over the year. And remember, I am the Manchin Whisperer. About, you know, Joe perhaps switching parties. Not going to happen. Because in a primary fight, say, with Looney Mooney, he'd lose the primary. Just based on that that scientific law that says when voters are offered a choice between a real Republican and Republican light, they'll always choose the real Republican. And they would go with the maggot Looney Mooney. I'm more worried about Kirstie and Kirsten. She has all the loyalty of a catfish. And she might be persuadable to come on over to the maggot side. I mean, the money's a hell of a lot better. But, you know, that's why we can't do something like that, Ron. And Fabio has noted that Lauren Bobblehead Boebert's lead over Andrew Frisch has shrunk. And it may, according to the Associated Press, possibly trigger a recount. Oh, and by the way, I had a note, speaking of Colorado, I had a note from Lady B. And, you know, Lady B always brings her A game. She said, I just read that Nancy Pelosi stepped down from House leadership. She will not serve as House Minority Leader. It's obvious this decision is made in light of the attack on her husband. I will add editorially and parenthetically, she's not going to be part of House leadership, but given her seniority, I would guess that she's going to have her choice of whatever committee she chooses to be ranking member of. And if any of those goddamn maggots have any brains at all, anybody who thinks that they're going to wind up with a chairmanship is gone full Judge Smales, hoping that Nancy doesn't wind up the ranking member. Oh, Billy, 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 Billy. Oh, Billy, give me the Billy Baru. Oh, Billy, 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 Billy. Because she will make life a living hell for anyone she is opposite. You know they're going to give a chair to marginal trailer queen. You know they're going to do that. Because we know that Marginal Trailer Queen's already struck a separate peace. I know, I'm just fantasizing now. But it's healthy. And I'm just thinking of Nancy saying, wherever Marge goes, if they give her a chairmanship, I want the ranking minority member of that committee. Because I'm going to make her cry. Anyway, Lady B says she had a good run, and I hope her successor will do just as well. He won't. But I'm of two opinions on her decision. The first one is of anger and sympathy. Not anger at her, but at all those Americans who refuse to accept a woman in any type of power. For years, all we would hear about Pelosi is that she was the devil and ruining this country. Never mind that she needed the cooperation of the Senate to get anything passed. It was her fault the country was falling apart, be it jobs, roads, the cost of medicine, or inflation. Somehow everything was her fault. It was sexism at its worst. Because despite all our gains as the most powerful democracy in the world, we still can't stand to see women in a leadership position. However, the other side of me is incredibly pissed off at her. Granted, she held her head high through all the slander and male grievances, but she tried to remain above the fray for way too long. It took her husband almost being killed for reality to sink in that some folks despised her. What could she have done about that? I really don't know. But obviously, protection for him was severely lacking. Why did she think he would be okay by himself? I get that he probably insisted on staying out of the limelight, but angry white men and women, who were taught to vilify her for years, tried to overthrow the government in a coup. They came to Washington looking to kill her. Why did she think being rich and living in a nice neighborhood was going to protect her husband? Doesn't she know that if a white person really wants to harm you, they will find a way? Now, this is kind of hard for some white people to comprehend. And I want to emphasize white. White people can go in Caucasian anytime, anywhere. Look how liberal whites talk about how they attend Trump rallies just to see what's going on. Granted, the guy's a rough-looking mofo, yet he still managed to enter what was most likely a gated community and go to the third person in line to the presidency's house and cause what will be a permanent decline in cognition to her 80-year-old husband. If it didn't, it certainly shortened his life. The danger to America's complacent leaders is in the skin color of their enemies. In this case, David DePape's skin color gave him the privilege to walk around a rich neighborhood and not raise a single eyebrow amongst Paul and Nancy Pelosi's neighbors. White privilege aside, I hope Washington's elite, and let's face it, they are, understand that a threat isn't something you brush aside as the ravings of the lunatic fringe. White maggots be serious about what they believe, and that is that everyone is out to get them, even those of us minorities who don't care. Right-wing media have whipped them into a completely unnecessary frenzy. Well, you and me can talk about why it was necessary. It's the only way to keep them going to the polls. That white, and I do mean white, hot frenzy. She and the regular media stood by for years and let this happen because they thought the average American was only worthy of pity and or contempt. Now the country's paying the price for Washington's aloofness. I don't know that she held the American people in low esteem, Lady B. I think she had a job to do, and she did it, and she did it extremely well. And all along, she knew, it's clear, she talked about it, she knew what a threat the terrorists who attacked the Capitol on January the 6th were. She knew, and she spoke openly about it, and she condemned those who did not. And Lord God, she called them out today. I hope she keeps her seat long enough to get a good Dem to replace her. Then she and hubby can pack up and move to the south of France. She's earned it. But the next time she and the Washington elite want to blow off a bunch of angry white people who wish to see her dead as just misguided and in need of prayers, better think twice. Those folks have guns and privilege, and they damn sure know how to use both. In many ways, you're not wrong. I don't think she's going to run off to the south of France. I think she will serve honorably as long as she feels capable of it. And I think she will be hell on wheels as just another member of Congress. She may actually revel in that possibility. Well, I've got Ralph's giggling. Oh, my God, MTG opposite Nancy Pelosi, LOL. I know. We're gonna need those little moments of joy and delight. And Darlene in Connecticut says, don't forget, Paul Pelosi inadvertently put himself on the map with his DUI this past summer. He drew a lot of attention to himself. He did. And, you know, if it was anybody else's DUI, it never would have made the front page. Probably wouldn't have made the back. Just maybe a mention on the police blotter. But it happened. It happened. And I'm sure she was furious. And she had a right to be. I'm still laughing. Can we please keep it about Hunter Biden? That needs to be a t-shirt. It does. And Steve in New York says, subject line, Lady B. You know what? I'm glad she just wrote this. White folks, especially white males like me, need to receive regular reminders of exactly what Lady B wrote. Now that I think of it, my oinking at the police seems to illustrate the point. They did nothing but oink back. I'm pretty sure this is what Lady B meant. Like I said, Lady B never brings anything but her A game. And just a reminder, because we've become rather good at this in this program. Y'all, America has a Nazi problem. They had a book fair at Harvard. Pack the Kai and Harvard Yard. They had a book fair at Quincy House in Harvard Square. According to the Harvard Crimson, the student newspaper there, a video posted by NSC 131 Tuesday on the online video sharing platform Odyssey showed members of the group, NSC 131, performing an apparent Nazi salute in front of the Democracy Center, a Cambridge meeting house where the Boston Anarchist Book Fair was taking place over the weekend. Members of the group pounded on the doors and windows of the building and lunged at passersby on the street. "You want to punch a Nazi?" one of them said. "Come on, motherfucker!" The Anti-Defamation League says members of the NSC 131, that's the National Socialist Club, by the way, and the 131... I don't know. 13 plus 1 is 14. I don't know. I got nothing. But they showed up and harassed people. And the ADL said that they consider themselves soldiers fighting a war against a hostile Jewish-controlled system. The Jews, oh dear, that is deliberately plotting the extinction of the white race. See, that's a classic example of the fluidity of whiteness. Nazis don't consider Jews to be white. Even if they're paler than a bar of ivory soap. Their goal is to form an underground network of white men who are willing to fight against their perceived enemies through localized direct action. And they've had dalliances with the Proud Boys, the Patriot Front, the base. Don't know if they've had anything to do with the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff. They've brawled in front of Drag Queen Story Hour in Jamaica Plains, a neighborhood in Boston. Curiously, somebody actually called the cops. And the Cambridge Police Department said... our officers were unable to locate the van in which the men left Harvard Square. They were all wearing khakis. They were all wearing black jackets. They were all wearing ball caps. And they were all wearing black masks. I'm guessing that kind of attire sort of stands out in Havad Yad. But, well, couldn't find him. Wow. A book fair. The Anarchist Book Fair. Because, see, Nazis don't believe in a world where there is a marketplace of ideas. They are in complete agreement with Ron Monkey Up Duclantis in that regard. And there's a reason that the Venn diagram of Nazis and Ron Duclantis is just a circle. I mean, I don't know that I would have gone to the Anarchist Book Fair. It might have been interesting. There's actually a lot of political thought in all of that. Remembering that anarchy is a Greek derivative. It means without leaders. And in Greek is without, and archons were the leaders of ancient Athens. An archon is to be without archons, that is to be without leaders. But that is an intolerable state of affairs for Nazis, because their ideology is so weak and so hateful and so putrid and so ugly that it cannot withstand scrutiny. And so Nazis, being Nazis, tend to use means present within democratic within democratic structures to obtain power, and then they disassemble the democratic structures. Witness, for instance, the MAGA's refusal to honor subpoenas. And so now congressional subpoenas are going to be meaningless, because I sincerely hope that now that the MAGA's are in charge of the House, that every time they issue a subpoena, that the subject will go, "Hey, remember all those subpoenas y'all didn't honor? We're not honoring them either. Fuck off." Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. We've reached the halfway point of the program. We've got $1,150 to go in fundraising. We are badly behind, as we all too often are. And if we could knock things down further, it'd be beautiful. I mean, I got one bill for $300 that's waiting. Another for $5. Another for $250. And it's nerve-wracking. And that's not even the electricity. So, yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of maggots, an oath keeper done lost her shit in court today. Dan Friedman reporting live for Mother Jones at a trial of January 6th insurrectionists. Reported on Jessica Watkins, who during testimony lost it under questioning by U.S. Attorney Alexandra Hughes. And said, she started burbling and babbling. About the stolen election. Her pettifogger, a guy named Jonathan Crisp, said, "At any point did anyone say, now it's time to enter the Capitol, now it's time to stop the certification?"
"No, sir. I thought the certification was over."
But then she got inside and she said she got pissed off about the stolen election. And she was in pain because her ribs had done been broke. And Alexandra Hughes, the U.S. Assistant U.S. Attorney, has started drilling down. "Despite the fact you were charged with obstructing an official proceeding, you never said that you believed there was no official proceeding to obstruct and then bang. I was angry. I accepted full responsibility for what happened in this hallway. And I know that opens me up to criminal responsibility. I know that I'm going to get charged. She probably meant convicted. For I get it. And then, because Alexandra Hughes pressed her, she started shrieking, "Half this country feels this way still. Half this country still feels disenfranchised by this election. We didn't have a free and fair election." And meanwhile, over at defense counsel table, I suspect one of her lawyers was heard to utter the famous word made famous by Daffy Duck and simply, "Mother." You know, that's right before the anvil lands. Gee, Jessica. Well, the thing is, we're having a felony trial for Jessica Watkins, who, by the way, is a U.S. Army veteran. She comes from the Buckeye State. And she said, "We didn't have a free and fair election." Which is another way of, which is maggot speak for, we done lost. We didn't get the outcome that we wanted, and we believed a burbling gas bag. Even though the evidence is entirely in the other direction. But we're having a felony trial for her. And I don't have the particulars before me, but we're having a felony trial for her. And even if she's convicted, it'll be a damn miracle if she sees a year inside a federal prison. Jesus. Because the only free and fair elections are the ones where the maggots win. We understand that, right? Sure. Oath keepers. And by the way, yesterday, the House of Representatives passed a piece of bipartisan legislation that addresses the grave problem of non-disclosure agreements in employment contracts, and particularly with reference to sexual assault. These things are more in use than perhaps we're aware. And basically, they limit the ability of a victim to go public with allegations of workplace sexual assault and harassment. The Senate has already passed the bill by unanimous consent. Over there, the Republicans had the common good sense not to object when unanimous consent was requested. So the House is actually the final step. They passed it. President Biden will sign the Speak Out Act as soon as it gets to his desk. Here's the thing, though. 109 Republicans voted against it. 109 Republicans voted in favor of forcing sexual assault victims to remain silent. Oh, let's see. There's Louis Asparagus Gohmert. And there's Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert. There's Marginal Trailer Queen. There's Lauren Bobblehead Boobert. How much of a self-hating woman must you be to vote against other women who have been sexually assaulted? 109. It's a long list. I'm not going to read them all. I'm just looking for the usual suspect. Rogers of Alabama, of course. There's Jim Jacket off Jordan. He looked the other way when boys were being raped. So, I bet he sure wishes there'd been an NDA there. There's Doug LaMalfa. And there's Doug Lamborn of Colorado. There's Massey from Kentucky Stan. There's Lee Zeldin. There's Joe Uli Wilson of South Carolina Stan, whose real name isn't Joe. There's Daniel Webster from Florida. There's Mo Brooks Les Brames in Alabama. Sexual assault fans, how about that? Pramila Jayapal said, this bill empowers survivors of sexual assault and harassment to speak openly about their experiences and pursue the justice they deserve. I was proud to be a co-lead on this bill, and I'm so glad we got it done. And by the way, one in three women in the United States report having faced sexual harassment in the workplace. And more than one-third of the U.S. workforce is bound by non-disclosure agreements that silence victims of sexual assault and sexual abuse. Well, but the future leaders of the Congress, well, they like the idea of some silence among the sexual assault victims. Yeah, there was Matt. It just gates worse. I guess he has a reason for that, for his vote. God. Well, anyway. Let's run over to the Skype line, check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Robin.
How are you?
Oh, you just missed me tinkling.
I really didn't need to know that.
Oh, no, you did. See, your mind immediately goes to the gutter.
No, I was thinking of the coffee cup.
Yes, that's what I was doing. I topped it off.
My mind is not in the gutter.
Oh, all right. Well, that must be me. What are you doing to the kitty cat?
Nothing.
Well, she seems agitated about something.
Don't misgender Socrates.
Well, I always refer to all kitties as she's.
Sexist.
Know why. Well, no, I just...
I'm playing. No, it's bitter cold outside. So,
How cold is it?
Okay. Maybe we wouldn't call it bitter cold, but it's unpleasant and it's wet. And we don't like for him to be outside and cold and miserable. So,
that's good of you. You're a good human.
We try. And he is presently spending time here in the studio because he's a very good kitty, and it's 30 degrees outside.
Ooh, just gave me a shiver.
Oh, but wait! It's gonna get down to 26 tonight.
Oh my Lord! I was complaining the other night. It got all the way down to like 46 or 58 or 48 overnight, and I'm just the misery, the agony, the things I have to go
Shut
through
up.
In California. I have a correction, but I want to amplify your. I want to answer your question about Jim Jordan's congressional pin.
Okay.
Secret piercing. That's all I'm going to say. I'll let the listeners conjure up.
Really? Really, Scott? Are you suggesting that Jim Jacket Off Jordan has a Prince Albert Congress pin?
No, I wasn't going to go there.
Oh, you were going for the geesh. Wait, maybe it's a nipple pin.
Well, I was going to say, if I had to guess, it's the right nipple. Everything's right about
Yeah, because he could never do anything left.
No. By right, I don't mean correct. I mean, here's your left hand.
Dexter.
Your right hand.
Yes. The dexterous nipple. Jesus, Scott, we were doing so good with the program this evening.
Everybody's got to have a purpose. And mine apparently is this.
Just dragging the program off into the gutter.
All right, well, let me do a...
Then again, I'm the one who mentioned the Prince Albert, so, you know.
I couldn't remember what the name of that was. I'm
ashamed of myself for knowing.
Well, no, see, you have... But see, because whenever anybody gets on you about knowing stuff, just say it's show research. It's show prep, you know, and just let them be with that. I wanted to give a Commander Scott update.
Yes.
I went yesterday to get my flu shot and to get my current COVID booster. And I was a good boy. They didn't give me a lollipop, but I did talk to the person who injected me about metaphysical things. He asked about my ring. And I explained the metaphysical principles behind moonstones, that they are like the recording devices, cosmic recording devices of gemstones.
Wait, what?
Yeah, didn't you know that?
No, tell me more, because I've got my everyday earrings are a pair of moonstone studs.
Okay, that's not your birthstone. I think it's one of my birthstones.
No, it's not. No, my birthstone is,
amethyst?
No, it's not amethyst. it's, garnet.
Garnet, yes. We have a street out here called Garnet in Pacific Beach, I think. It's an avenue.
Well, which one? You said a specific beach? What?
Pacific Beach.
Work with me.
I know. Well, see, I got my shot. This is, from now on, this is what I'll use to blame. This is the blame I'll attach. I haven't been right since I got my shots, you know?
But it was, all the maggots will love you. The anti-vaxxers will be plumb crazy about you.
It was, I'm still voting Democratic. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the shot didn't affect me that much. But anyway. So
Wait. You're getting questions. Steve in New York, Scott's ring, did his ring also indicate he's heir to the throne of Gondor?
No, I don't like jobs involving regalia. Give me a simple life. Watching all the pomp and ceremony surrounding the departure of Her Majesty the Queen recently.
It's just too much trouble.
I'm not saying do it like we do things over here, but there is just, you know, the satin pillow and the royal, you know, flatulence catcher, you know, she's sitting on that throne, you know, that, you know, if she eats the...
Well, if there's a royal taster, there's probably a royal sniffer, too. This program's irretrievably broken now.
Well, you know that they've got a fucking special thing that's kept in the tower somewhere. You know, and then they bring it out for ceremonial purposes. It's just too much shit to go through. I could never be queen.
Tis the royal bum sponge.
You're the bum sponge, yes. Bring us, come hither with the bum sponge. But, so anyway, watching all that, I said, I don't know where the hell I was going. Oh, the
I don't either. And I have to tell you, though. Matt in San Francisco, just Scott's speed record. That's the fastest trip to the gutter yet.
Well, I got my my handy pass.
Whoosh!
You know, like on the roadways out here, and out there on the East Coast, they, you know, the quick pass. What are those things on the speedways?
Speed pass.
Speed Pass, yeah. It's on your bumper. It's a barcode. It's the mark of the beast. It's the mark of the beast. But anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, I was at the pharmacy getting my shots like a good citizen. And the guy asked about my ring. And it's basically a sterling silver. It's a moonstone in a silver setting. Not sterling. It's a silver setting. And I got it a couple of years before I moved out here. And it's the recording device of gemstones. In other words, the theory goes, the person who has the moonstone object, whether it's ring or earrings or whatever, apparently it picks up stuff about your life so that the possessor, once I'm long gone, the future possessor of the ring, if they're at all psychically sensitive, will be able to, it's like hitting the replay button in a football game, okay? So the guy says, if I understand this, the guy says, so you coming in here to get your two vaccinations today has been captured. And I said, yeah, that's the essence of it. And I said, so give us all a big grin and a wave, you know, for anybody who's watching this. Well, he must have thought I was out of my fucking mind, Robin. You know, and it was too short a time after the injections to blame it on them, you know. But anyway, I'm just glad I got it done. I was feeling just a wee bit fuzzy last night, and I'm not sure yet today how I feel. But don't let that stop people from getting their doing their civic duty and being responsible.
Now you said duty.
Nah, see, you're injecting things into this that just needn't be there. Okay? So, is that why I called? No, I don't think it is.
We'll get there. through the gutter, but we'll get there.
I do have a TV viewing tip, I think.
Yes?
I get Esquire magazine. Don't ask me why. I used to like it back in the 70s and 80s. But it's apparently under new management now, and the writing's not quite the same. And it's too much goddamn fashion. I have no interest in, I mean, look at me.
On the radio, he said.
Am I a fashion place? No, I don't think so.
I like, Scott, I like to think of you there, a palm tree out the window, a dude with a leaf blower not far away. And you're sitting in your overstuffed Chesterfield with a smoking jacket and a pipe, preferably pants.
No, none of that.
Don't spoil it for me. I mean,
all right.
You know, a neatly trimmed beard and the briar has to be curved. It has to. Yeah, the stem has to be curved. Can't be one of those straight pipes.
Oh, no. Those 1950s Ward Cleaver pipes?
No, never.
Not in my mouth. Stop it. I need an attendant here is what it is. I need somebody to zap me with a little Joe Isuzu buzzer and a mild shock whenever I veer off into these questionable areas. And I still can't remember. Oh, I was telling you about the movie that I watched. It's on Netflix. I saw a review, I think, on the Esquire website. Jonah Hill. Do you remember the actor Jonah Hill? Heavyset fellow with the wild look in his eye. He was in the... what was that movie about the Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes.
Did you ever see that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, apparently a couple of years ago, Jonah Hill hooked up with this psychiatrist in the area where he lives. I guess L.A. or New York.
Now, hooked up?
No. I mean, he became a patient.
Okay. Just checking. Anyway, apparently it's 2022.
All right. This man, Dr. Stutz, S-T-U-T-Z, I believe it is, had such a profound impact on Jonah Hill's well-being, he asked him to make a documentary with him. Okay, and it's called Stutz, as in Bearcat. Okay. So anyway, I watched it on the recommendation of Esquire. I watched it last night. I'm still not sure what I saw. I guess some people who watch it will get something more out of it than I did. But I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not going to try to influence the viewers. If you have Netflix, watch it, because I thought it was very good. You don't often see human vulnerability and people wanting to make a difference in other people's lives in that area. It's not a well documentaried field, I don't think. I mean, the last film I remember about mental health was like Snake Pit, and we know how long ago that was. You know, and you don't come out of the theater humming the theme song by any means. So anyway, check that out if you want. Hold on here, as if I haven't had enough coffee, I've got to take a sip. I'm sure somebody's written in with a snide comment about my behavior thus far, so go ahead and read more.
No, actually, it's not snide. Matt in San Francisco said, Chesterfield, my father used to yell at us kids to stop jumping up and down on the Chesterfield. Why he did not say couch remains a mystery. Thanks for jogging that memory. I thought maybe you were smashing his cigarettes.
If you kept them between the cushions, and your foot went down just the wire, you have crushed Daddy's Chesterfields.
Stop jumping in foot, and the divan. We had divans here. I heard a thousand years ago. I used to hear the word divan. D-I-V-A-N.
Yeah, that divan is divine.
That divan is divine.
Yes. No, wait a minute. That's divine sitting on the divan.
Yeah, right.
It's a mighty sturdy divan with divine on it. Anyway. Well, there's a number of...
Well, I want to know, you said, I got a note from...
See, I've even confused you now.
Yeah. No, but you know Lady B always brings her A game.
Oh, yes.
And
Hi, Lady B.
What you just said about Joe Manchin, to me that's bullshit, and I fucking hate it that it has to be that way. We have to put up with clowns like Joe Manchin not wanting to help poor Americans because some West Virginians like holding the fucking country hostage. They like their state being the laughing stock of the country. Let me stop there and ever so gently push back. We don't like it. Some of us work hammer and tongs to make it better. But as Tracy and I were talking about on Tuesday, we got no bench. The not having a bench problem among the Democrats is not limited. West Virginia is not immune. There's no bench in Alabama either. There's no bench in Mississippi. There's a lot of places where the Democratic Party has no bench. And that's not to say we don't have good Democrats in West Virginia. We do. But Joe Manchin, for all intents and purposes, owns the Democratic Party of West Virginia. Part of the reason he'll never switch over and be a Republican. What we don't have is choices. Anybody who primaries Joe Manchin, and I'm not kidding, okay, I'm not getting all Alex Jones. Anybody who primaries Joe Manchin or says bad things about Joe Manchin will forever be on the Joe Manchin shit list. And you do not get off Joe Manchin's shit list. It's a forever thing. And once you're on, you just kind of have to deal with it.
Well, it's perfectly
maybe somebody will primary him in 24. But once they've had their ass handed to them, their political career will be forever over. Now, it's not like that for running against, say, Looney Mooney in the House or Crazy Carol Miller, because you're doing the work of a Democrat opposing a Republican. But where Joe Manchin is concerned, no. And he does not care if the Democratic Party of West Virginia falls to complete rubble around him, because he still maintains his power. But Lady B continues and says, in fact, Robin, I'd say every time you slip into a Southern accent not your own, I expect... Really? The Southern accents? That I try so hard to use my broadcast standard. Damn. I expect it to be about some cruel and pompous Southern politician. You acknowledge that the rest of the country considers many Southern states a laughingstock when it comes to politicians, and that some parts of the South are irretrievably broken. Nancy Pelosi should be lauded. She conducted herself well, got a lot done, and made history. She lives in a bubble. Dare I say anyone who will lay claim to serving in high office to help others has a touch of grandiose about them? Does that mean she personally looked down on us? No. But to take up the mantle to help all Americans is a bit presumptuous if you think about it. Well, I've said it before about any. There's got to be something. Just the simple fact that you want to run for president means that there's probably a character flaw in play. And I guess maybe you could say it about running for any office in the national government. It seems like our helpers are usually wealthy people who went to great schools. Very few of them have ever lived lives like we have. They always seem to pander to the moderates who, despite being pissed on, are indecisive about whether we should help the impoverished, the single mothers, stop cops from killing minorities, and a crappy health care system. Oh, by the way, I just heard your cat meow. What a little darling. Oh, and hey, Scott, you and Robin are pure trouble. Anyway, I started this out about it, and we are. I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. It just has developed over the years.
That starts with T, and that rhymes with T, and that stands for pool. It's trouble. Right here in River City.
Anyway, I started this out about Joe Manchin. Joe looks down on y'all, but he appears to be your best option, and you guys accept that shit? You accept it because it's the best you have? Christ Almighty, that is a little pathetic, don't you think? Yeah, sure, it's pathetic, but it's also reality. We don't have a bench. I'm trying to remember the next time Archmore in a bad wig, Shelley, is up for re-election. A Democrat can run against her, and it will not affect their overall. But the thing is, when you've got a political bench, you've got to be willing, and that political bench is not going to come from anywhere except maybe the legislature, maybe a mayor, but no. So that means that if we've got a good member of the West Virginia House, I mean, we can't look to the Senate because there's only one Democratic member of the West Virginia Senate. It's 16-1. So that means the few in the House, if you've got a good one, they're going to have to give that seat up in order to run a long shot campaign against Archmore in a bad wig. And it's even more of a long shot with Joe Manchin. I mean, I guess, Lady B, I guess it is pathetic. But it's pathetic like it's pathetic in Arkansas. Jesus Christ on a cracker. They just made Jethrine Bodine the governor of their state. You know, which is interesting because, remember, the Clampets came from Arkansas. All of those mythical areas are Arkansas.
Bug Tussle.
Yeah.
Who just
Shady Rest.
Governor? Who just became governor?
Pixley. Jethrine Bodine. Hustlebuck Sandbags.
I always thought that she.
And I know this is this is probably a case of me kicking down, but. And really, I don't have anywhere to kick down. But I love this place with a passion that burns through me. I came back here. I didn't have to live here. I could have gone. Let's see. When I graduated from WVU, I was working for CNN. It was 1987, and I was accepted to law school in Wyoming, Mississippi, Alabama, Missouri, a few other states. But something in my soul said, go back to West Virginia. I don't know, maybe there's Maybe it was destiny, or maybe it was karmic punishment. I don't know. But it's not a matter of accepting it. It's a matter. There's a favorite novel of mine where the philosophical founder of a movement says, "Face the facts." That's the first thing you have to do. We have to face the facts. And the facts are, the Democratic Party in this state, in the short time in which Joe Manchin has been in the ascendant, is almost dead. And it's not getting any better. There was a great purge of the Democratic Party leadership this summer. And the power behind the throne now is basically Madam Chiang Kai-shek. It's not going to get any better. At least until such time as we can get people excited enough to come out. We're talking about something on the order of a 38% voter turnout. And I thought that was bad until Tracy told me that the turnout in L.A. was 20-something percent. Wow. And you know that's just a municipality in California, but that municipality has orders of magnitude more people in it than we do here in West Virginia. You know, if we could, here's a funny thought: if we could get a bunch of liberals to move into West Virginia and stay liberal, it wouldn't take much to turn this state blue. A turnout will turn this state blue. I don't know, maybe it would have been worse if the turnout here in this past election would have been 60 or 70%. But you know what? At 38%, sure didn't work out too well for us there. Love you, Robin, Lady B says. I wish you could move to a state that would be better for you. One where you could at least get Medicaid. But you have a home and a life there, and thank God your compassion has transcended both your genders and your skin color. I just think you deserve better. You're the most compelling radio personality I've ever listened to. You actually may give us a Thanksgiving show. Who does that, y'all? Somebody who gives a shit, that's who. You have a beautiful soul. You get paid tomorrow, so hopefully that'll help. Thanks for your time. Give Socks for Tease a big hug. Continue to do the Lord's work. She sees you, and she is pleased. Lady B, you have no idea what you do for me. You get all over my soul. And it means more to you than you know. I promise it does. And I think a lot. And I'm walking all over Scott's time here, but Scott is patient and generous. I wish I could tell you the time that I've put into thinking about going somewhere else. But it is a Gordian knot. I have all but one of my children here. I have a grandbaby here that I want to watch to the extent humanly possible for as long as I can. Grow up. God, I love those two little girls so very much. They're absolutely magic. When the 5-year-old runs to me in the morning and says, "I need my morning hug." And I pick her up and I lift her into the air, and she looks at me and says, "Gotta touch the ceiling." So I lift her up over my head so she can high-five the ceiling, and I bring her down, and she wraps her arms around me and she says, "I love my morning hug." And she says, "Here's your morning kiss," and she kisses me on the cheek. I don't think I could ever leave that. If I could figure out some way to, you know, put the clampets on the truck. By the way, that was like a 1936 Dodge?
I think it was 28.
And take us all some, but you know, again, land is not cheap here, and whatever I could sell this place for, if I went to Washington or Oregon or God knows California or Massachusetts or New York or I was talking with our pal Reverbo about it the other day. Maryland looks like a really great place for somebody like me to live. Whatever I got for this place wouldn't buy me a postage stamp-sized piece of ground to put a refrigerator box on.
Well, let me ask you this. Because you raise a valid point. Moving from a place where you have roots to an unknown country, so to speak, is not an easy thing. I've done it several times.
Right.
Yeah. However, it's a balancing act. Your fear and trepidation are only part of the equation. There's also the part about the adventure, the discoveries, the future, the people that you might cross paths with, the impact that you might make with them, and the impact that they may make with you, you know. And you got to weigh it out. And sometimes the practical aspects of it make it impossible. I mean, how likely is it that you're going to strike oil on your 40 little acres there, or however many you got?
You have no idea how many holes I've dug.
It's just like the gophers.
Sometimes I stand outside with a shotgun just shooting at random possums for dinner and hope that up through the ground comes a bubbling crude.
And see, that defies all stories of oil exploration that I've ever heard before. He was out one day shooting for some food, and up from the ground come a bubbling crude. Well, wait a minute. Hold on just a minute. Does H.L. Hunt know this? Does Murchison know this down in Texas? Who was that other wildcatter from those days? I've seen the documentaries about the discovery and the oil. It doesn't work that way. But the writers are very clever, those Hollyweird writers. They'll come up with the most implausible thing. And before you know it, they've packed up the truck.
There should be awards for people who just come up with names like Hooterville and Pixley and Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle? Just think about the meaning of that.
And a pig that watches TV and knows how to change the channels.
Yes.
I mean, what is that a secret commentary on how Paul Henning regarded the viewers? Or the people who run television? I don't know. There's probably some deep stuff in there that we're never meant to know. But we would welcome you out here, Robin. Can you get your?
Until I tried to order grits or something.
Oh, well, we have grits out here. I'm sure you can find them.
Oh no, I know Tracy. I know two people who know awesome places for grits. I think I could. But you've warned me off the buttermilk. That could be a problem.
What can a cow give buttermilk? I mean, come on.
Stop it.
Oh, that doesn't deserve anywhere near the tinkle you gave me.
I thought it did. And it's my call. It's my show.
All right.
Quit it.
All right.
By the way, Ron and Raleigh says, be sure to tell Scott to watch A Christmas Story. It's the sequel to A Christmas Story. And it's set in the 1970s, and the kid has grown up and has a family of his own.
Oh, Ralphie has grown up?
Yeah, Ralphie all grown up and has a family of his own. And
just shoot your eye out, kid. Now, A Christmas Story. Now, I loved the original A Christmas Story. I just, as many times as I've seen it, there are two or three movies that I watch. Christmas in Connecticut.
Yes, well, yeah, we've been over this ground. And you know what? It's time to start talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and at the risk of sounding like some curmudgeon, I confess, a little shocked. The kids had been out in the car, and they never put the radio back on public radio, like where I keep it. Sorry.
And what do your wondering eyes appear?
Well, it was 99.9 FM, and it is already full-time, I kid you not,
holiday music.
Christmas music.
Oh, God.
Now, wait, don't get me wrong. I love Christmas music. And now that I've got full access to all of my human emotions... Oh, I can bawl at the drop of a hat for. I'll be home for Christmas. Just devastates me.
especially it, nah, the little drummer boy, eh, not so, but no, there's a subgenre of Christmas music that is pure weeper.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's designed to do that.
And I love it. I mean, I've remarked on a million occasions, the Johnny Mathis Christmas album is Christmas to me. And I think I was genetically predisposed to love Johnny Mathis because my parents' song, you know, our song, my parents' song was Chances Are. Oh, my.
Chances Are.
Don't.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to ruin that. I'm trying to be young.
Well, you weren't doing this. Chances are. You have to put your finger against your larynx and move it like that. Greetings, earthlings. You have to do, because nobody can do that vibrato like he did.
Yeah. I like him. He's still around, I think.
And I heard that song yesterday. The Australian girl who lives in my phone decided to play it for me, and it just brought me to tears. But no, it's not even Thanksgiving. That's the whole point. The Christmas season starts with Thanksgiving. You know, that's when Santa showed up at Macy's and everything. No, we're doing Christmas music now. They were putting Christmas candy out before Halloween was over. This is out of hand. Sorry, I'm all better.
Okay, well, I'm glad you came around. Christmas ain't the same, and I hate to sound like a righty here, but I mean, I remember when it was a more special, you know, a huggy time where you felt just enveloped by good cheer and warmth and it, I don't know what happened, I don't think it was just a matter that I became an older person, an adult or whatever. I mentioned this after the election night. I said, now just you wait, now, you know, if you got sick and tired of political commercials, now that the last vote has been cast, it's going to be nothing but it's going to be nothing but Medicare add-on plans and what was the other one? There's some commercial just never stops. Oh my gosh, by golly, it's time for mistletoe and holly. But anyway, one I will pass on is Perry Como. It's comatose.
Oh, leave Perry alone.
I just never cared for him. Sitting on that stool, wearing that sweater, crooning those tunes. No, thank you. Go back and cut hair, Perry. He was a barber.
Go back and cut hair, Perry.
He was a barber, and apparently there are such things as singing barbers, and he was discovered somehow. He was, and the rest, as they say, is history. And what was that? There was a one song that he did that I just couldn't say. It'll come to me. Anyway, how did you get off on this?
Well, we were responding to Lady B, and then we went off into the, and I don't know.
A Christmas
story. Oh, the commercial that never stops. Steve in New York asks, is that Colonial Penn?
No, it's along those lines. It's the Medicare Advantage add-ons and there's to, well, anyway. Give me the name of that movie again, because I love A Christmas Story.
It's apparently A Christmas Story story.
Yeah. Where is it? Do you know where it's running?
Ron's listening. Help me, Ron.
There are three movies.
Help me, Obi-Ron. You're our only hope.
There are three holiday movies that I always watch: A Christmas Story, Christmas in Connecticut, and I alternate each year. One year it's A Wonderful Life is the third one, and another year it's what the hell is the name of that movie? It's the one with Robert Mitchum and Janet Leigh. Where she gets fired from her store job as a comparison shopper. Somebody can look it up. It's just a lovely little movie. I love Robert Mitchum.
Oh, who doesn't? Well, we've heard back from Lady B.
Lady B!
You got me on the babies. My nieces and nephews and great-nieces are everything to me, and I have 28 of them. There's a reason why John Denver wrote songs about both our states, but he did adopt the last name Denver, just saying. Well, what? Would you adopt the name John Fraser's Bottom? Really? John Martinsburg? John Huntington? Okay, Collis P. Huntington was a very wealthy robber baron. I mean, John Left Hand? John Clo? John Looneyville? I'd have chosen Denver, too.
Well, his name was like Dukendorch or
Dutchendorf.
Darkendoof or something.
And Lady B says, you're a West Virginia mountain mama. And I love how the chorus to Rocky Mountain High ends, in Colorado. I fucking love it here. And yeah, I'm pretty sure I would, too. Stay put, but continue to make a difference, she says. Come Judgment Day, the door will be held wide open for you. Joe Manchin will have to negotiate. No, I'm going to sit outside the gates of hell and tease Joe with ice water. From one DJ to another, another two DJs, the tower lights are working fine. Your playlist for the hour includes two bathroom and cigarette songs, and the signal has no static at all. Peace to all. It's 28 with snow flurries here. Enjoy the warmth, Floridians and SoCals. Pike's Peak sure looks pretty this time of year, though. Yeah, I can imagine. We're getting flurries. When I went up over Little Sewell and Big Sewell yesterday, the mountain looked like it was it looked like it was frosted with sugar donut sugar. And winter is cruel, but it has its own majestic beauty. And I try to see the beauty in such things. It's mostly just a matter of making sure we stay warm. But Lady B, I get it. I've always wanted to see Colorado, and yeah, maybe someday. I don't know. There's still a lot of places I want to see. I need to spend a lot more time west of the Mississippi. And love you, Haley, but I don't mean Arkansas. So, yeah. I don't even know if Haley's listening right now. But, anyway, what were we talking about?
I don't know.
The tower lights are fine. Your playlist for the hour includes two bathroom and cigarette songs, and the signal has no static at all.
Well, I was going
to
tell you.
Stick to the format. Save your relatability for your friends.
I was going to tell you the story of working for a station in Kansas City as a part-timer. I hated to see Christmas come. I guess this was the first part, the first bit of turning about Christmas. From noon Christmas Day, or noon Christmas Eve, no, 6 p.m. Christmas Eve for 24 hours straight, all the part-timers got to come in 6 or 8 hour shifts and play these giant reels of tape of continuous Christmas content. And it was, if there is a hell for DJs, there's going to be a section for DJs where it's a room full of these 12-inch reels.
I thought they were 15s.
Were they 15?
Yeah, I think they were 15s, and they were quarter-inch tape.
Big-ass fucking reels. And
the boxes had Drake Chenault written on them.
Yes, I think they were Drake Chenault, now that you mentioned it. But I put a reel on, and this is working the overnight shift. I put it at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's now officially Christmas morning, in the wee hours. I put the reel on, and I was tired. I mean, I was tired. So I lay down on the studio floor for what I thought would be 40 winks. And the next thing I know, the reel is on the uptake side, going flapper, 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 you know. And the phone lines, all the lines are blinking. Thankfully, the hotline wasn't blinking. You know, the program director's probably drunk off in a corner, you know, with visions of something dancing in his head. And I was so embarrassed because you just don't sleep
on the job. But I figured, who the hell is up at 2 o'clock, the wee hours of Christmas morning? And apparently one of the ladies in the sales department was, and she wasn't happy. So there was a memo about that, I want to tell you. But I don't know. Maybe that's what helped to start the ruination of the holiday season for me. I just don't know. I don't know. And I know no one who does know. So, have you ever, now when you were a wee tot, did some older relative ever take you to visit a department store Santa?
Oh, yes.
What was that like?
Well, actually, we had a shopping center about a mile and a half away from the house, and they'd set up one of those little portable barns there because there was a Kroger and a W.T. Grant and an ice cream store and a children's clothing store and a drug store. And maybe they all went in on Santa, but they'd set up a little red barn, dress it up all Christmassy, and Santa was in there. And
with the giant candy canes at the entrance?
Oh, yeah, and the local TV station had a Santa show during the season. And little kids would come down and listen to Christmas stories and Christmas music and ho, 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 ho. Oh, Jesus, that's dysphoric as fuck. And I got to do that once. I was all done up in my Sunday best and a little red bow tie. Yeah.
I wonder if
we grew up in the same town. I wonder if Miss Terry ever got to do that.
I was a little old for that, but I remember we got on, Aunt Emma and I got on the bus and went to one of the big department stores in D.C., and I was a little older than I should have been, and somewhere in the universe there exists a picture of me, my ponderous bulk, sitting on the knee of some street person Santa at the hedge company or... This man's breath would knock a buzzard off a jet wagon, I'm telling you. And he was, you can see in the picture, he's got his left arm, I was on his left knee, he's got his left arm kind of wrapped around me, and it's on my left leg, and it's uncomfortably high up on my leg. And I'm thinking, whoa. And he's asking me if I've been a good boy. Well, what are you
going to
say?
How old were you?
I was probably around 8. I was at that
age. Oh, that's a little old.
Yeah, but you know, Aunt Emma used to indulge the fluorescent piss out of me.
Auntie M.
But anyway, I survived that. And the deal, the come on was, where, you know, have your kid come tell Santa what's on his mind. And we'll take a picture, 5x8 picture or whatever, suitable for framing. And somewhere in the world, there's a picture of me sitting on Santa's left knee with his hand creeping up my leg. Okay?
He was just going for leverage in case you peed and he had to throw you off.
Well, that's his story. But I survived that. Okay? And I remember... I guess it was after the visit with Santa in the store, she let me wander around the toy department, and they had on a table, a display table, a Kenner girder and panel set where you put up the skeleton of the building, these little plastic girders, and then you add the exterior. And she knew automatically that I wanted one of those. And I did get one. I wish I still had it. It would make for good therapy.
Kenner? I remember. Was it an Erector set or?
No, it was all plastic, and you know. But you can look it up. Somebody send Robin the link if she doesn't look it up. It's Kenner, K-E-N-N-E-R, girder and panel. I think is what it is, and they're probably valuable for those who hung on to their childhood toys. But anyway, so we survived the visit with Santa, creepy Santa. And my foray into girder and panel. And Aunt Emma didn't want to walk to where the buses would take us back over the bridge to Virginia. So we took a cab. We hailed a cab. And the driver was in the front seat, obviously. And curled up next to him, as with these bench seats, was this young girl, maybe 12 or something. And later, we made up stories as to what was going on there. Now, the obvious answer is he couldn't find a babysitter. His wife was working, you know, probably selling Kenner girder and panel sets in some store somewhere. And so the 12-year-old was taking a nap on the front seat while Daddy drove the cab. That's probably the logical explanation. Well, we get out of the cab thinking we've escaped with our lives. You know, this man had obviously drugged this poor girl and was now, why he would pick up passengers in a situation like that, I don't know. We never considered that aspect of the story. But anyway, it's just a Christmas memory brings warmth to me. And every time I smell mistletoe, I think back to those long ago days on the streets of Washington.
Where the streets have new where the streets have no name, yeah.
With the Christmas. With the
And by the way, I was laughing at what you were saying, but at the same time, I was laughing at what Lady B sent because I think I peed a little. Lady B says, "Try working for a top 40." Office favorites. Happy holidays from 95.1 KRDO FM. I'm going to kill myself with a sharpened candy cane. In the meantime, here's Bing Crosby.
I'm going
to kill myself with a sharpened candy cane.
Lady B brings up a point that I concur with. I mean, there wasn't a lot of rock and roll. I mean, didn't Phil Spector do a... Was it Phil Spector did a Christmas album, which was pretty good. But they were not, most of it was not, was usable on a top 40 or a pop station. But a lot of that shit was MOR, and some of it was downright easy fucking listening.
Okay. You just lost a lot of people. MOR means middle of the road.
Yeah.
And then, yes, easy fucking listening.
And it's
here's
like,
Percy Faith and his orchestra again. I mean, and you know what the perfect manifestation of that is? The first episode of WKRP, when Johnny is just dying, and it's before the formats changed, and he keys the mic and he said. And the reference is, so we'll just use them. And that was the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing, "You're Having My Baby."
Yes.
Now perfect. Hour, just another, perfect.
And now another hour of menopause melodies from K10 Sleep or whatever.
And Amelia makes a valid point. Who's up at 2 a.m. Christmas morning? Busybody old folks just waiting for the local DJ to screw up. Not necessarily true. Not necessarily true. That's about the hour when parents of young children are padding ever so quietly around the house, putting out all the unwrapped presents. You know, this, I don't know. Maybe families are different, but there were always some presents that were unwrapped, and those were the Santa presents.
Or trying to put together a bike.
Oh God! I hope there's no children listening.
After you've
I'm sorry. Had,
a couple of snorts of old granddad or something, that's always a pleasure, I'm sure. I've never done it, never even tried to do it. I just, God, you got me thinking about Christmas now. I hate you. I don't like to be warm and fuzzy this early in the year. We haven't even slain the gobbler yet. Old Tom Turkey.
I know. That's the whole thing. It throws off the entire season.
Old Tom Turkey is still, as we speak, in the barnyard.
I mean, they hadn't even sold out of the Labor Day package Bud Light when they were putting out the Halloween package Bud Light. By the way, Ron and Raleigh says girder and panel. Scott, stop! You're killing me.
Oh, come on.
And sends me a link. Girder and panel building set. Kenner. 1964 vintage set. Wait for it. $179.89. Used.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be rich today if I'd hung on to all my childhood toys.
Well, I might be too if the major, if the wires in Major Matt Mason hadn't always broken. He wound up with a dangling leg in space.
Wait a minute. There's a story here. Major Matt Mason?
Yeah, oh yeah, that was the astronaut toy. And they, you know, and it was, you know, rubber, the and he had a space suit on and the bendable legs and stuff, but it wasn't like those articulated joints like you got with Barbie or G.I. Joe. I got G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
Wanted Barbies. Did not dare ask for one. But, no, Major Matt Mason, you could bend him any, but he his arms and legs had wires running through the center of them, and that's what made them bendable.
But not forever.
But they, not for a day of vigorous use by a six-year-old. Oh, hell no.
Yeah, you had to get the after you broke the internal wire in Major Matt, you had to go get the wheelchair and crutch set.
No, that's when you went and got the Christopher Pike add-on.
Yeah, there you go, the little green and red light. Ay.
But no, and you know, once Major Matt was broken, well. I tended to treat broken Major Matt the way that, you know, the Bush administration treated wounded veterans. Put him to the side. No longer useful.
Oh, yeah.
And then you needed, because, and that, and I had the, oh, my God, I had the awesome Major Matt Mason space station. And it had solar panels and all kinds of doohickeys on it, and Major Matt Mason would... Why am I talking about this? This is political radio. Stop it.
I must not have been paying attention.
No, you were aged out of Major Matt Mason by then.
Yeah, I've never heard of him. I've heard of Ken and Barbie and G.I. Joe. Now, I do remember a G.I. Joe space capsule where he had the silvery spacesuit and the helmet and the whole nine yards, and a kid around the way had one of those, and I just seethed. With envy, green, glorious green envy, because I wanted one of those.
How could you not? And by the way, Jude just sent me a photo of Mount Rainier. Let's see, what time is it? Seven. It's about 4:30. It's rush hour. Jude's on her way home. And wow, that would be a sight to behold every day. On my drive home, check out the view of Mount Rainier. That's why there are warning sirens present, just in case she erupts. Reminds me of the unknown that resides before us, as here we are traveling companions of exquisite beauty that walks with danger. So for this moment at hand, I choose to enfold within my being the many exquisite beauties so honored to walk with, releasing all the tiredness of concerns. Thanks for another week of being the conduit you are, dear Robin. Always, Jude. P.S. Hello to Lady B and Scott and all those out there in the ether. Thank you, Jude. That's a wonderful photo. That would just blow my mind. But you know what? Not for Jude, because never for Jude. Jude is present. Jude lives in every moment of every second. But all of us tend to live in we wherever we live, no matter how magnificent, it becomes ordinary. And I think in many ways that's our fight is to resist the pull of the ordinary. I posted a picture, somebody else's picture, of the New River Gorge Bridge the other day. And it wasn't even the whole bridge, but it was shot at such a vantage point, I know exactly where it was shot. But it shows the bridge, about half of the bridge, it shows a bunch of the canyon. And it shows this itsy-bitsy, teeny-tiny little school bus. And one of the comments was, how are all of those children not screaming on their way to school every day? And I didn't mention that it was probably a high school sports team or something, because we got a school on one side of the river, a school on the other side of the river. Never mind. But the thing is, I looked at it, as, and I've tried in the last couple of years, because how I thought about things has changed. I try to be more mindful in every moment. And every time I drive across that bridge, it's a different bridge, and it's a different gorge. Like driving back the other night and seeing it on fire. Oh, my God. And
the bridge was on fire?
No, the gorge was. I mentioned the gorge after the bridge. Pay attention. Stay with the program.
Are we still in the school bus, or where
now,
are we?
Well, I mean, the bus was... And people were just amazed. Some of, yeah, I could never drive across that. Honey, it is four beautiful lanes. It's an engineering marvel. It's engineered to sway up to 8 feet side to side in hurricane force winds.
Good God.
I mean, they don't anticipate hurricane. But, you know, you put 100,000 people on it on bridge day, you can feel the bridge move.
Oh, yeah. Now that I...
And in the dead of winter, when a really, really top-notch storm comes through, you know, with some blizzard force winds, you can get blown around on the bridge because it doesn't have a bunch of superstructure to it. It's just, and you get the view of a lifetime. But way back in the day, when the kids were little, I drove a minivan, and that slab-sided son of a gun. I'd be in the right lane going southbound, and I'd actually hold the wheels as though they were slightly turned to go off the bridge. And I would still be pushed into the left lane.
Yeah.
And that can get real interesting real fast.
Yeah. it's like being on a tire torture test track. You know, the forces of nature are something. But I mean, you hit the, you or Jude hit the phrase that pays, to use an old radio expression. That's the phrase that
dialing
pays.
For dollars.
Well, to caller number 9, please hang up.
Hold all calls. We have a winner.
A Life Less Ordinary. I think there was a film by that name, A Life Less Ordinary. But we kind of get into the rut of sameness.
Precisely. Yes, we do. Everything... And you know, Robin Williams talked about it, talking about seeing the world with the eyes of a young child.
Yeah, there's sort of a willful blindness and you know, but each I don't mean to get cosmic here, but each new moment, as usual as it may seem, is a doorway that has great potential. If we recognize it. Now, obviously, you can't have adventures every day, but sometimes you got to bring adventure to it. That's getting back to that documentary with Jonah Hill and the shrink, Phil Stutz, Dr. Phil Stutz. He works with 3x5 cards. He'll sit there and talk to the person, then he'll make an observation and illustrate it on the 3x5 cards and the little phrase. And it's like presence, having presence and a wakefulness in your own fucking life, because it is your life. These are your experiences.
Yeah, don't throw it away.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of us believe you only go around once and that's it. It's like the old Schlitz commercial, grab for all the gusto you can.
You know, when I was little, I thought gusto was an ingredient in beer.
Well, it was there for a while until the FDA got it.
Barley, water, malt, hops, gusto.
Yeah, just a dash of gusto.
The Rinheitsgustobot. You know, the German purity law. Oh, I got to tell you, Ron and Raleigh sent me an eBay listing for a 1966 Major Matt Mason Man in Space figure, Jeff Long. And he was the black guy in the franchise.
But now, was this a cartoon series?
No, just toys. But price, $188, condition, used. Listen to the description. Nice paint, broken wires in both hips and one knee, As seen in last photo, the left leg is barely connected for $188.
Sounds like a job for the Benny Hinn doll. Wind it up and it heals your ass.
The left leg is barely connected. Now, and he's more expensive, even with the left leg barely connected and the wires in both hips all the way gone. Because, see, when the wires in both hips were all the way gone, he was never going to sit down again. But this is the black guy, Major Matt Mason, and he's a solid $50 more expensive than white guy Matt Mason, the original Matt Mason. Because so I'm thinking they made a lot fewer of him. Because America, because 1960s. So, God, if it was 1966, yeah. So I'm probably three or four. A three- or four-year-old can be kind of rough on anything that's got wires for articulating its limbs. I'm just saying. Yeah. And by the way, I got a note from Dave and the Blind. I lived in Renton, Washington, which is a suburb of Seattle. I was 8 years old, and I saw from my apartment window every day Mount Rainier. It's one of the most majestic and impressive mountains I've ever seen, and I've been all over this country, and that includes the Rockies. Sorry, Lady B. Oh, God, we're not going to do this, are we? Sorry, Lady B. The only thing that held a candle to Mount Rainier was Denali, also known as Mount McKinley. Signed, your wayward traveler, Dave in the Blind. Oh, and by the way, our buddy John in Central Pennsylvania a little earlier when I was talking about maggots and Nazis, saying we have a Nazi problem is the same thing as saying we have a maggot problem. This is true. And Mark in Florida, trapped behind the Duclantis curtain, Scott's DC Christmas. I often think of Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffat during the Christmas time in D.C., thank a fascist, Mark, behind enemy lines. I don't know.
That was a car bomb, as I recall. Yes, I remember when that happened. I was still in the D.C. area then. God damn. It was literal terrorism is either DuPont Circle or I don't think it was DuPont. I think it was Thomas Circle, one of the circles. And you know that.
Oh, and I'm terribly fond of Thomas Circle.
The circles in D.C. were designed into the city to confuse the British. I hope you know that.
Is that? Are you pulling my leg?
I have heard that. I don't know if it's true, but
I thought it was like that because Pierre L'Enfant, being a Frenchman, designed D.C. to resemble his beloved Paris. Which has circles.
Part of it, but you've got to confuse the British as well. That's always on the game board.
Circles never confuse the confuse the Germans or the Americans. I had a friend who used to say, "Why do the French have an Arc de Triomphe? The only ones who use it are the Germans and the Americans." That was cruel.
This is why I never, tourists to the nation's capital should not drive. They should walk or take the subway. Because I have actually seen people from, with out-of-state plates in their Dodge Dart or whatever, merge onto one of the circles. And they may still be going round and round and round as we speak. They know how to get into the circle, the road around the circle. But they're mystified as to how to get off onto one of the radiating roadways. Like Massachusetts Avenue or something. Very tricky stuff. They don't teach us in driver's school.
They installed some traffic circles in Fairmont, West Virginia. And I understand them. They actually, if you can negotiate them, they actually make traffic flow a lot more smoothly than does a four-way stop. Because circles replace four-way or other multiple-way stops. And you don't have the expense of a traffic light or anything like that. And you just go through and you pay attention. And if I recall correctly, the introduction of those traffic circles in Fairmont was memorable. Emery and Marvelline on the way back from Walmart. What in the fluorescent fuck, Marveline? I don't know whether to shit or go backwards.
How big is Fairmount? Fairmont.
It's not big, but it was, you know, it was like four lanes where it was everything going into it was, you know, two lanes. And, you know, there's the inside lane for keep going, and then there's the outside lane for I'm taking the next exit.
Theoretically. Because, you know.
You done said a mouthful.
It's the city planning version of the Roach Motel. They come in, they check in, but they don't check out, you know? I just, we don't have anything like that here as far as I know.
You want to see fun. You want to be in a traffic circle in West Virginia when there's an emergency vehicle coming.
Oh, yeah. Where do you pull over to? The left? You hear the siren. You see the lights.
Stop and pray.
Oh, man. I hadn't thought about that. Now, doesn't New Jersey have some odd traffic structures?
Never having driven there, I cannot comment.
I remember on a foray up, I had to go into Delaware for some reason. Well, I was working; it was a job I was working. I hated that job. It was horrendous. It was for a company that was owned by 3M. It was like a film processing thing, where you know you take your film to the drugstore. This was mainly for slides and 8mm movies. They didn't all go to the same processor. The prints went somewhere, and the slides and 8mm. Well, it was Dynacolor was the name of the place, and it was in the basement of the old Alexandria, Virginia roller rink, where they would also have rock concerts, which I never went to because I was too young. But you know, you have to pick up and drop off in the dead of night, and it was just horrible. But New Jersey had, I know they had restaurants and rest plazas in the middle. Most places.
Oh yeah, no, I've seen that. I've seen that in the greater, like on the Illinois Turnpike or what? Yeah, it's in the middle, so both sides can access it.
Yeah, well, and I'm telling you, I wasn't used to it. Now circles, I knew how to deal with, but I didn't like going into Jersey. I didn't like it at all. So. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Well, we've had a blast this evening. We always do.
Have we? I think so. Yes. Well, wait a minute. There was one more thing I was going to tell you about, or ask you about. It is so. This is the conversational equivalent of a child mashing all of his food together on the same plate. I don't know where the hell I am. Where are the peas? Didn't we have peas here?
For those who care, Tracy let me know earlier today. This is the magic day that the Enchirito returns to Taco Bell. I mean, this is better than the Swallows and Capistrano because you can eat an Enchirito. What's wrong with me? But then this is an unpaid product placement. But Tracy has been waiting because, God, that woman got pissed when Taco Bell took away her Enchirito. And
are these the tightly rolled fried beef or cheese filled
with enchilada sauce over the top, and they're heavenly, or they used to be.
Oh dear, well, where's the Taco Bell not far from here? Maybe I need to check this out.
Well, it was today, and she told me this morning. I was like, well, have you had one yet? And she said, honey, it's still 10 o'clock out here. I forgot that I'm living in the future with her.
It's never too early or too late for Taco Bell food.
But see, that's the thing. They brought back they took away the Mexican pizza. What the hell were they thinking? And then they brought it back, and I was so eager, and I ran over and got Mexican pizzas, and I came back, and it was like, here's a Mexican pizza for you, here's a Mexican pizza for you, here's a Mexican pizza. And it was like, wow, these suck.
And what are they called again?
The Mexican pizza.
No, the Enchirito.
Enchirito.
Enchirito. Now, is that the Taco Bell?
There's an O on the end. That means it's masculine.
Is that the... well, you can tell by looking at it. But the... What the hell's wrong with me?
I don't know. I don't know why we don't have a morning zoo crew gig somewhere in a major metropolitan area.
But is the enchirito the Taco Bell equivalent to the Big Mac? I mean the McRib?
No, because the enchirito is good.
No, I mean, but it's a seasonal item.
Well, they've said it's for a limited time only. Fuck them.
Life itself is for a limited time.
Well, I know. But see, what's distressing to me is Tracy went and tried a Mexican pizza out at a Taco Bell in Civilization, and she reported back that it was heavenly and everything she expected it to be. So I have a feeling it's this Taco Bell, which, as I explained to her, means that I have to go to Somersville or Beckley, and I have to wait to do that. So, and by the way, Lady B, I wish Lady B had just been on the phone with us. The three of us, we would be an evening zoo crew. But she said, Jesus, Scott, goddamn, talk about ruining visits to the department store Santas. Now you got us all wondering. wait for it. Were these guys all rejected Catholic priests?
You know, that, you may be onto something. You may be onto something, Lady B. Because they brought the perversity to it. They brought the drinking issues to the exercise. They certainly brought dress up to the equation. So, yeah, they could have been. Were they defrocked or were they just didn't have the academic...
Dirty little frockers. Couldn't resist. Scott's D.C. Christmas, Mark informs us it was Sheridan Circle, Embassy Row.
Okay, yeah. A lot of goddamn circles in D.C. I just... And when you're tripping your balls off...
I didn't know that was part of it, but...
Well, I mean, that's an old 60s expression. You do a hit of quality acid walking around in the circle... On this, because see, a lot of them, like DuPont Circle, is lovely. They've got benches and places to sit and converse and compare notes politically and socially. And that, I mean, that's where we used to sell the copies of the Washington Free Press and the Quicksilver Times, the underground newspapers. It was like, and you know that there were government agents dressed up like hippies to observe us.
Well, wait. Yeah, okay, because you're the Watergate correspondent anyway. Weren't the cops who were called to the Watergate undercover guys, and wasn't one of them dressed like a hippie?
Yeah. I forget which the guy's name, but yeah, they were doing undercover work. The D.C., I don't think it was the Vice Squad. There was some, well, maybe it was. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, they were Vice. They were Vice.
And they actually had stopped at a filling station to fill the tank, and they were the nearest car to the Watergate. So when they were the ones that were dispatched. And see, the burglars, who were all dressed in business suits, they didn't know what to make of this. You know, two hippie-looking dudes with guns drawn, you know, when they're trying to booby-trap the phones and, you know, take photos of documents. And the irony was it was the second break-in, because from the first break-in, one of the bugs on one of the phones didn't work.
Because they had to go back, and so they had to go back.
To replace it, yeah. So just
Liddy.
A moment.
Liddy.
Yeah, that son of a bitch. I'm telling you. I wonder where...
Crazier than a sprayed roach.
Oh, worse than that. Worse than that. I know sprayed roaches who have recovered from that degree of craziness. There's no coming back from where he's went. I mean, just... Oh, I know, and then I'll let you go. You were talking about Nazis, the influence of Nazis and stuff. There was a 5 or 6 part thing on your podcast machine that Rachel Maddow has done, and I just started listening to it. It's called Ultra, and it's about the Nazi underground and some ways above ground in America in the 30s and 40s, okay? I'm like 2 episodes in, Ultra. Check that out, because if you think that the influence today is some new revolutionary thing, think again. There's always been that thread, that mindset, running through the body politic and the culture. Don't be fooled. It's nothing. There's nothing new about this.
No, it's you know, if you could time travel the people who were adults in, say, 1974 to right now, they would go, oh, really? The inflation never went away, huh?
Yeah. Now, see, don't get me started on inflation. We don't have the time.
Well, it's eating. I know we're past the election. I'm not supposed to talk about inflation. At least that's the Republican preference. Can y'all just keep this about Hunter Biden?
Yeah.
God, I think that should be up there with Jeb Bush saying, please clap.
Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden. This entire country's going to be singing that song. I just need to get an invite back onto All In with Chris Hayes long enough to sing that, and then it'll go viral. And we'll credit you, of course.
Thank you. I bless your heart.
Although you only came up with the Hunter Biden part. I added the rest, so it's lyrics by Scott and Robin.
Yeah, I got as far as the Benghazi of our time, but back then when I came up with that, who would have thought that the Republicans would still be as crazy as they are?
And it's like Ron in Raleigh says, he reminds me every now and then, I just want to see the chain of custody of that laptop. The chain of custody on that laptop's like that old country song about I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. And the thing is, there is no bona fide reason for rehashing any of this. It's all chest pounding. Okay? They're in charge. They've got their little Jim Jordan with his jacket off. And they are just going to make hay to what end? To no useful end. And that is the problem with putting these people in charge of anything. And why we couldn't manage to keep the majority in the House is beyond me. I'm not buying into the notion of the 5 seats in New York and the couple of seats still waiting to be decided here in California. We didn't take it seriously enough. And I don't mean to preach and screech, but God damn it, we could have avoided a whole parcel of trouble if more of us had shown up and voted intelligently and responsibly. And that's all I'm going to say about that. We have fun here, but God damn it. Do you seriously want to go through the next 2 years of this horseshit? I mean, there's a purpose.
Do I have a choice? Can I go and like move into a Himalayan nunnery or something? I mean,
I'd want to read the brochure first.
It's precisely. The saving grace is that they can't get anything done. As long as Joe Biden is there, as long as there's a Democrat in the White House, they don't get to do any evil. We probably ought to refer to what's coming as the Castrato Congress.
The Castrato Congress.
Because they are, that house is neutered.
Yeah.
I mean, do I want to live through this? Actually, yes, Scott, I do. Because I'm going to, the Schadenfreude is going to run like a mighty river.
Oh, God, yes.
Watching these fools take the long knives out for each other. Pramila Jayapal got it right. Never mind Democrats in disarray. This is going to be Republicans in ruins.
And I guess sometimes you've got to let them have their head, so to speak.
And you know what? And you know what pisses me off? It's becoming more and more clear where the fuck up was on our side. And I hate to say it, because we've got friends and family members of the community there. But when you look at the narrow margin, the seats we lost in New York State are why we are where we are. And that falls squarely upon Democrats in New York, who got too cute by half over the redistricting. And then Sean Maloney decided to run against a popular progressive member of Congress instead of staying in his district. And here we are, and why are we in this handbasket? We need, I mean, it's not Democrats in disarray. It's just, you know, look, cancer starts with one cell going batshit crazy. And then it grows. And what happened, the reason we're not going to be in the majority in this next Congress is because there's a little clump of fucked up in New York State. And that's the alpha and the omega of it.
And the pivotal point was our just trying to be too cute. And when the stakes are as high as they are, being cute about anything shouldn't be anywhere on the agenda.
No, aren't we clever?
Well, I feel like Edward G. Robinson in the Ten Commandments. Where's your Moses now? Where's your clever now?
Oh, that's a good one.
Anyway.
Your Edward G. Robinson is not shabby.
No, not at all. Well, listen, I see the old clock on the wall, and it's been a delight. We have covered all of the bases tonight. I don't think we've left anything untouched.
Yeah, we had a couple of hit by pitches and a couple of balks, but we hit all the bases.
And where else can you get this sort of stuff?
Nowhere. Nowhere. And you know, we're down to 11:50. We started off with a little spurt of energy, and then petered out. But we're down to 11:50, so that means tomorrow will be 14:50. And curiously enough, that was the frequency of one of the radio stations I've worked at. Best Music, WLAY. That's where the Drake Chenault reels were.
Lay, WLAY.
Yes. And we were not allowed to make any kind of suggestive remarks about our call letters. Although playing Lay Down Sally was fun.
Then that's the
Lay Lady Lay. That was another one.
And your big brass bed. But nothing will beat the FM frequency in Kansas, and I'll close on this, the FM frequency in Kansas City that was owned by the Jimmy Swaggart Evangelistic Association.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
KWKI FM, quickie. Have a quickie for Jesus. Now, in the context of Jimmy Swaggart...
Have a quickie with the Lord.
Yes. And we, the station I hooked up with, we were quickie for the first month and a half. And then
we're quickie. Jesus is coming.
He's just breathing heavy. We switched it from quickie to KLSI, classy. And we had an adult contemporary sort of soft thing.
Hey, Lassie, go get the sheriff. Robin's down the hall.
No, that's Lassie's Pekingese friend. You do Lassie better than I do, Lassie. Because I'm a cat person, damn it.
Anyway, and did you notice how Socrates settled down? He's been a very good boy.
Well, it's the conversation. When you get conversation of this quality and caliber...
Well, no, you should see him sitting over here going, oh, come on!
He doesn't buy into any of it that I'm saying anyway. So. All right, man.
All right.
Lady.
We're going. Lady!
Horn family, good night. Robin, good night.
Scott, good night. It's been a delight.
Good night.
Oh, it rhymed.
Good night, Mount Rainier. Please don't erupt. We don't need that at this point in the narrative.
No, we do not. Scott, take care.
I will, and I'll check out.
Catch you on the front porch tomorrow, maybe.
Tomorrow is Friday, isn't it?
It is, it is.
Hot damn. All right.
Oh, wait. Lady B responding, our skyline, and it is beautiful there. The springs. We live in the foothills, 6,035 feet elevation. This is my view every day. That is all. And it's kind of like what we are so lucky, all of us. It's like what I say about being around here. I love where I live. And Lady B, you have a magnificent place, and so does Jude. And you know, there in the Big Apple, where the mountains are made by the hands of working folk, Steve, and down behind enemy lines, Mark in Florida, you with the palms and the crashing surf. Yeah. Oh, and Lady B says, I thought Soxvertes was more of a Cat Stevens fan. Ah, good night, Horn family. Good night, Lady B. And thank you. Thank you to our dear sister Jude. We are now down to 11:25. So thank you, Lady B. Or thank you, Jude. Thank you, Jude. That helps so very much. And yeah, Scott, I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care, Robin. Take care, Horn people, and see you on the porch tomorrow.
All right, bye now. And you know, actually, considering the late start, we're still okay. It's still a 3-hour program, so I don't think we're going to get in trouble with Podbean. That's a good thing. Look, if any of the overnight crew wants to help, it is help that we need. We badly need it. And any and all help is good help. This is independent, listener-supported conversation radio. And it is... I'm spoiled, but I think it's almost entirely sui generis for this medium, and I think it's worth trying to keep it on the air. And things are scary, and times are hard, and I know that. And don't anybody hurt yourself. Never. But we do need help. We do need help. So thank you to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. We would not exist without you, plain and simple. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Roger in the chat room. Check and see if Steve ever wandered by. No, I don't see. No. Thank you, all of you. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live because, among other things, no ads. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a mighty proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Get your flu shot. You'll be just fine. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your mask. Wear your mask. Especially when you're among the great maggot unwashed and unvaxxed. Hand sanitizer always helps. Keep your social distance. 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, of course, if some dude with a piece of toast and some of that Kentucky jelly on it comes burbling down the sidewalk towards you saying, can y'all just ask me Hunter Biden questions? Avoid that maggot like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.